Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us, Mike Haas, voice of the Saints. The Saints play the Panthers out in Carolina and then get on a plane and head out to London. Got a busy 2 weeks coming their way. This comes on the heels of a heartbreaking loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here at home. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. No, you're right. It's going to be an interesting 12 days. See how things come out on the back end because there's no rest. Dennis Allen was saying the difference between this trip and really some of the others is that when they would get back, they were open. So you'd go to this kind of long Carolina, London, and come back and be open. Whereas they'll get back Monday, October 3rd, technically, or depending on the time, late on Sunday, the 2nd, and they got a game on the 9th with Seattle, not home, but still, that'll be get your body clock back in order, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough 2 weeks, and I think the next two games might very well define their season.
You would think so, but I don't know that we can. And it's not just the Saints. I'm watching the NFL across the board. It is 1 week down, 1 week up, favorites, underdogs. There's no rhyme or reason to it. I'm 100% in agreement with you because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, their first five games are all NFC games. So they don't play an AFC team until so they're all at the end of the season, NFC South first, and then you look at NFC schedule and who they played and record. So they're important. You got to come out of this. You got to win one of the next two. You want both of the next two. You just can't drop both of the next two. And from a fan standpoint, you say, oh, Carolina, good gosh, they've lost nine straight. Well, six of those losses were last year, and one of them, or five of those losses last year, seven of those losses were last year, and one of them was to the Saints. So they've lost by two on a last-second field goal, and they've lost by three on the road. I hate to say it sound like a cliche, but they're a much better football team than an 0-2, and yet you can't even really count 2021.
So, Mike, the Panthers 0-2, new quarterback. What challenges do they present for the Saints?
I think just that. I think it's Baker Mayfield and Christian McCaffrey. And I'm not saying this to draw a comparison because they're completely different, but Mariota, Cordell Patterson. Baker Mayfield has, from a quarterback standpoint, again, he's been with his team for 2.5 games, if you include the preseason, went through a quarterback battle in training camp, so he didn't get all the snaps. He has been off. He's only completed like 53% of his passes, two touchdowns, one rushing, one passing. He's thrown a pick. He just hasn't looked good, but he's fast. He runs the read option. I would say it would be scarier for me. Doesn't do it as much as maybe Mariota, but if you're running the read option with Christian McCaffrey, wow, you've got a whole new weapon to respect. McCaffrey's at 25 carries, 135 yards, and 8 receptions for 50. So you've got to account for that guy always. Baker's the kind of guy that we've spent so much time in the first 2 weeks talking about pressure, the quarterback, where's our defense? It's hard to do in a read option offense, and it's going to be hard to do this week. Because if you come hard and if you come fast at Baker Mayfield, he is too quick and too good to elude that first guy. So you got to be smart. You got to stay discipline, stay in your lane, and make sure, what's he doing? Is he handing it off to McCaffrey, or is he not? It's a better offense. They've had 4 field goals so far this year. The kicker is 4-for-4, Eddie Pinheiro. And all of them, he's at a 31, a 32, a 34, and I think a 38-yarder. So they're basically, 3 of them are extra points or less. So they've gotten the ball down there. They moved it. They just can't punch it in. And that's been the difference. When you look at across the board, how teams are playing and what they're doing well and what happens, it's red zone. The Saints are the microcosm of that, but it's across the board. If you can keep teams out of the end zone, huge advantage. But being able to punch it in, I've seen more field goal games this year than I think I've ever seen, and we're 2 weeks in.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if that has a lot to do, you and I talked about it the last time, as to the difference in how we're approaching preseason.
I think so.
Trying to keep our folks from getting injured. And surprisingly, yet there were still a lot of injuries in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season.
A lot of teams. And a lot of injuries in training camp. And you're doing your best to try to protect them. There's virtually very little hitting pad to pad in training camp. You're right. You're trying to protect them, yet prepare them. That's a fine line. And I think that's why we have seen so much up and down. It's hard to – that's why I was a little hesitant to – that these next 2 games could define. I think it'll be an important stretch just because I don't think this team really has much of an identity. We talk about being able to run the football, but yet we didn't have Alvin last week. Talk about being able to rush the passer. Well, you faced the read option in week 1, and Tom Brady wasn't going to let you get to him. I mean, he no more had the snap. He got rid of it. It wasn't even a 2-step drop. It was 1 and gone. So you're not going to get pressure. Baker's not like that. Baker stands in the pocket. He'll move around. The key with Baker, and you probably talked to other guests, but he is not the tallest cat in the world. They say 6'1" no. on the roster. That's what me saying I'm 220, right? Yeah, I wish. So he gets a lot of passes batted down, and it's actually not in the middle of the field always. It's to the outside when he's throwing a little swing route or throwing a little out route that they get knocked down. So it's across the board from defense and tackle, defensive end, and your linebackers. If you can't get to him, and you know you can't get to him, or you don't have a good lane, hang back, get your hands up. He's not. He will pretend there's a window there.
Saints had 5 turnovers, if my memory serves me correct, last weekend.
I'd forgotten all about that. What are you talking about? Yeah. What number is that?
I didn't get to see the game. I was traveling, so I was kind of looking at the stats. That's so unlike this team.
You're right. You're right. Although the fumbling is really an issue because it kind of set up the game. And it's a what if, and I hate to play it, but the facts are facts. The Saints had a very strong first drive, had to settle for 3. The Saints had an enormously dominating drive in the third quarter and got really inside about the 11-yard line when Ingram fumbled it. Forget the first drive. If you just look at that second drive, that makes it 10-3 New Orleans. Now, just keep playing the game. So now, in the fourth quarter with 12:45, Saints are up 10-3, and they're on their own 45. It's the best field position they've had all game. The pass deep to Chris Olave in the end zone does not happen. It's fourth quarter. It's 12 minutes. You're taking underneath. You're not going deep. You're not going for the killer right there. And so the whole game complexion changes. And if you don't throw that pick, well, then Tampa doesn't score a touchdown. And if you don't throw that pick, now you're not forcing it on the next one where it sails on you over Juwan Johnson, picked off. Now you're really forcing it. You force it, Mike Edwards, pick off, touchdown. I mean, it's just like it's a what-if game, but if you take care of business early, you're not throwing the ball deep in the fourth quarter. It was 3-3. Saints had the ball on their own 45 with 12:42 to go, and they lose 20-10. I mean, it's kind of insane, but both week 1 and week 2. I've used the word insane and crazy and weird more in 2 weeks than I know I have in 5 years.
Is there one thing that you point to that you're seeing that causes angst, anxiety, concern?
Just we again, I don't know what are we? Are we going to – we've Mike Thomas, is he going to be – Jarvis was strong in Atlanta, then didn't have a whole lot of receptions last week. When you don't have Kamara, I think you become a hybrid. I don't know what this team is without Kamara. He's that important. Take Christian McCaffrey away from Carolina, and you're like, well, who are these guys?
Right.
It's the difference of what this offense can be. And as they showed in that first drive, and as they showed in that drive in the third quarter, running the ball, keeping the ball, short passes, not getting yourself in many third down situations. That's who this team is. It's a system. It's an offense. It's the same. I don't think Pete Carmichael went out and goes, and when Sean's gone, all right, well, let's change everything. It's just relative, I'm assuming, the same system. You take what they give you, you run the ball hard, and it's a game of field position. And when you get behind, like they did, it becomes a different ball game. And, you know, Jameis Forster, he would say the same thing. He had some underneath routes that he would much rather take. But when you're at full strength, this is a running football team that will set up the pass or short passes that kind of set up longer passes that just keep the ball moving 4 yards, 5 yards, like Deuce always says. You can't give up on the run. I don't care if you get 1 yard or 2 yards and you're still – you've got to keep running in the third quarter and fourth quarter, assuming, you know, like it was this week. It was 3-3. So you've got to stick to your game plan.
Injury list come out today? Any surprises
there? It's been pretty much – I mean, it's been all limited, you know, for both teams. I think I don't believe the Saints – I'm not looking at it right now, but I don't believe the Saints had any DNPs, and they only did not practice for Carolina – was Christian McCaffrey, and that was a Veterans Day of rest. I mean, good gosh, they asked that guy to do everything, block, you know, run routes out of the backfield, run the ball. He's a little bit of everything. So limited can be a little bit of everything. They'll probably be listed as questionable, and that will include everybody. That'll include Paulson Adebo. That will include Alvin. That will include Jameis. And so it's just, you got to assume, at least in my world, that at least with Jameis, that if he was played last week and he's limited this week, that he'll be ready. And to me, the key would be Alvin. Can Alvin be ready? And I don't know that we'll learn a great more today. My thought is a lot of those guys will still be limited. We'll find out. We actually find out at 3. It's a weird kind of conundrum in that we speak to Coach Allen at 1:45, but we don't really talk about any of the injury situations because the report doesn't come out till 3.
Right.
So, or right. Yeah, 4 Eastern, 3 Central. So it's a little, it's tricky, but it actually, to me, it looks better than it did last week at this time.
With the nature of Jameis's injury, does this end up becoming a week-to-week thing almost through the entire season? Because this is like a multi-month recovery of that, and
I would think
there's been a lot of conjecture.
I would think you're right. You know, we knew he was limited last week. He had an ankle, and he's been returning. When I saw the tweet Sunday morning that he had, you know, fractures in his back, L1 to L4, and that they've used extra padding, I was like, I asked Deuce, I goes, please tell me this sounds worse than it is. Because when you start mentioning L1s and L2s, I'm like, whoa. But, and I really only on a maybe a couple of instances, and that's me, the fan, looking at a play where I felt like maybe the back impacted his decision, not impacted his throws. He threw the ball deep well, just threw it too well, overthrow Olave on a couple of plays. So you're right. I don't know that it just gets better. The open week is the second week in December.
Yeah.
That's a long way away.
We'll continue to talk about that for several weeks because it is too far away, quite frankly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk to coaches, isn't it right? So is this a good time for an open week? No, there's never a bad time for an open week. I mean, you can make an issue. They've always had it like in October or relatively early, and they were relatively healthy. It always came at a good time, but you can make a big argument that it's after the Tampa Bay game. December 5th is their open week before a home game with Atlanta. Hey, in this final 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game stretch, it's a good little break, right? Because it's – so there's no bad time, but in Jameis' situation, maybe it would have been better to have an earlier break, but it is what it is. I think it's an interesting time. They've never had it. So
overall, you feel good about this game? You feel good about this game?
Yeah, I do. The Saints are a better football team. It's just don't make stupid mistakes. They have 17 penalties in two games. We're talking about fumbling the football. So the Saints had 5 turnovers. Carolina had 5 fumbles in the first game with Cleveland. They didn't lose it, but they still fumbled it 5 times. And 3 fumbles in their second game with the Giants and lost 2. They have fumbled the ball 8 times in 2 games. They've only had 1 interception. Neither defense has picked off the pass. The Saints are a better team. They need to do what they do on the road, just like they've been doing. They've won 4 straight. Get control of this game. Put Carolina on their heels. This has been such a slow starting team. 3 points through 3 quarters, 10 points through 3 quarters in Atlanta. You can't afford to do that week in and week out and just hope that you're going to have this fourth quarter magic. You're going to have to get on top of people and put them on their heels.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you so much. Do you leave too from Carolina? Are you coming?
Yeah,
back
we leave. In fact, last night I was sitting here in the office and I went, I've done nothing, nothing to get ready for this game. I've been kind of thinking about Carolina. I'm like, I had to look up. I go, what the heck is the weather in London? And I went, oh, high of 60, like every day. In the 50s, and I'm like, I am not prepared. Not prepared. So, yeah, we leave tomorrow.
Let's hope the Saints are better prepared than Mike Haas is.
I was like, I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't packed a thing. I didn't even thought about it. I kind of forgot about it. Like, oh, my gosh.
Well, I better let you go so you can get after it, my friend.
we don't leave until the afternoon tomorrow, so it'll be me and my wife frantically doing, laundry and figuring out I'm not dressed for cool weather, right? There was anybody here not
no,
to yeah. jackets and stuff out. I'm like, where is that stuff?
Not to put any pressure on you, but bring home a couple of wins for us, please.
You got it. Just for you, Noel, and just go to your cellar and find, something light.
You come home with 2 wins and there will be a nice bottle of whatever wine you want, my friend.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
All righty. Have a great trip. We'll be right back, folks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The LSU Fighting Tigers play New Mexico this week up in Baton Rouge. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist and Louisiana Network News Director, joins us to talk about that game. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. How you doing today?
Jeff, I was looking at the standings, all right, and I know this is a little tricky, but LSU's number one right now, so I'll just stay with that. SEC West. Because Alabama hadn't played an SEC game yet. They're 3-0.
Well, how about that? Yeah, I guess that's something positive here on this Friday.
I just thought that might be a little tidbit to get a little chuckle there. But LSU beating Mississippi State 31-16 last weekend. played well in the second half. I mean, they really kind of pulled it together. It was an exciting game to watch, and back and forth. A lot of things need to be corrected, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. This is still a team that's trying to improve, trying to get better every game. Long way to go. This is a long process here to try to build this roster back up after it was pretty much depleted after Ed Orgeron walked out the door. So, yeah, there's still a long way to go here as far as trying to get this program to get it where it needs to be. I think that, you know, maybe they've potentially settled here on the starting offensive line. I think they're trying to get Jaden Daniels to throw the ball a little bit more. They want to get some more receivers involved, in particular Jack Besh. You know, still working on some things defensively, even though they played really well, as you mentioned, in that second half. And then special teams, that's been an issue. And I think, again, that kind of just goes back to the huge roster turnover here and trying to figure out as far as personnel-wise, you know, who's the best person at certain positions.
I want to get your reaction to this. I kind of honed in on Jaden through the entire game. He still looks real hard for a receiver and then looks for validation that he's open before he kind of releases the ball. And there were a lot of completions that I think against quality defensive backfields we're not going to get.
Yeah, no, I think it's still you know, I think it's still a learning process there. I think there's a chemistry issue they're still trying to build. I think we saw a little bit of it, maybe Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels, they're certainly on the same page, but trying to get him and Kayshon Boutte on the same page, trying to get Jack Besh involved. I mean, Jack Besh was your leading receiver a season ago, and so far he's just got two catches through three games. And there's also just a lot of other wide receivers who are trying to make plays as well. Brian Thomas, Kyron Lacy, you got Chris Hilton, who's a terrific wideout that they really haven't been able to get involved. And you're talking about a quarterback that got on campus in the spring, and it just hasn't really come together. But to think that it would come together after three games, I think is really impossible as well. So it's just something that they have to continue to keep working on.
So what can we expect to see tomorrow night? I know absolutely nothing about New Mexico.
Well, they play in the Mountain West Conference. They've lost to Boise State this year. They've beaten the likes of they beat Maine. They forced 10 turnovers in three games, so Coach Brian Kelly has put his team on alert about that as far as making sure that there's not a lot of turnovers in this game. But one thing is they're not a really good passing team. They're like one of the worst passing teams in the country. So this is another tune-up game. I don't think it's going to get out of hand as early as it did like it did a couple weeks ago against Southern. But still, LSU should have no trouble beating a team like this and then moving on and then really getting into SEC play next week against Auburn.
I hope that some sanctions come down from the NCAA. The last thing you need is any distractions. What are you hearing about that?
Well, the punishment that came down yesterday against LSU, the one-year probation and a limit on the number of recruiting visits and so forth, really, it's barely a slap on the wrist. It all dates back to former LSU offensive line coach James Craig providing a recruit with gear during a period where it was a dead recruiting period, and you weren't allowed to visit with recruits because of the COVID pandemic. And then James Craig ended up getting fired prior to the 21 season, and he filed a wrongful termination lawsuit, a lawsuit that he actually won on a lower court. Well, now LSU gets to appeal, and they're going to show, hey, the NCAA said we committed violations, so we had every right to fire the guy. And they'll probably – I don't know, I'm not a lawyer here, but I don't think I would imagine LSU would be able to win on appeal now that they've been sanctioned because of what former coach James Craig has done. And he's been put on a penalized 3 years of no show cause, which means basically for him to get a job in college football again, that they you really have to determine that he is not going to do what he did before. So basically, he's out of college football for 3 years. Really, the big one we're still kind of waiting on is the whole Will Wade thing and the alleged recruiting violations he committed that led to his firing at the end of last season. We're still waiting to hear about that, and that continues to be there is I don't think we're going to actually get an answer on that until probably 2023. So what happened yesterday is barely a blip on the radar for the LSU football program.
Yeah. Kayshon Boutte out this weekend.
His
expecting a baby. So that pushes this rhythm that we talked about, back yet another game to the LSU-Auburn game, which I've been in that stadium many times. High emotion, tough to win, really tough to win in Auburn. It would have been nice to have another week under his belt for sure.
Yeah, and in fact, Kayshon and his girlfriend had that child last night, but based on what we're hearing, he's still not going to play tomorrow night. And then if you do want to look ahead to Auburn is at this moment kind of a program that's in an absolute meltdown at the moment, I guess, to be kindly. They tried to fire their coach in the offseason, and now they're down to like their third string quarterback. It's not looking very good on the plains for Auburn. But I think you would have liked to have another game out there with Kayshon, get him going, because that's what they did against Southern. They purposely got him involved. Expect, though, that they'll certainly try to get Jack Besh involved. He's certainly a guy that Jaden Daniels should feel some comfort left. He's a good safety outlet. He's got good hands. He's a good possession receiver, and he can make things happen once he catches the ball. He's not an easy guy to tackle. Big, strong, and he's got a little speed to him. So you certainly want to get him involved. I mean, to me, the three best guys on this offense as far as skill position, outside of Jaden Daniels, it's John Emery, the running back who finally came back last week. It's Kayshon Boutte, and it's Jack Besh. And then Brian Thomas is Malik Nabers, those guys are trying to crack that top three. But I think you really want to start seeing those guys get involved. I mean, Coach Brian Kelly's really been talking about all the weapons he's got at the skill position, and we just had yet to really see LSU utilize everything they have. And again, it's part of just the play caller learning his what he's got available to him, understanding his personnel, the offensive line doing its job, and you just hope eventually that they all put it together. I mean, Brian Kelly talked about it after the Mississippi State game, how they kind of gutted out that victory and finally put it together in the fourth quarter and had a huge fourth quarter to beat the Bulldogs. And he talked about how this is a team that's trying to develop so that they are a really good football team once November comes around. So it's still going to take a few weeks here for this to finally come together.
I thought the play calling, and I was going to go there next, and interesting that you mentioned it was a lot better in this game than it was in the other games. But I also found that we left a lot of wide-open receivers on the field that we never got the ball to.
Well, I mean, that's going to be up to Jaden Daniels, the quarterback's coach, Joe Sloan, to try to get Jaden to recognize those type of things.
You see that as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's times there's guys that are wide open. There's guys that are open, but I think with really basically in an entire new offense almost, with a lot of guys trying to step up and two of your better playmakers not really being involved, I guess it just kind of goes back to what I was saying. It's certainly a work in progress with this team, and they trying to get everybody on the same page. But I know that I would think that they're going to continue to keep coaching up Jaden Daniels as far as keeping him in the pocket as long as he possibly can, make sure he goes through all his progressions, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah. I guess some in many ways, Jeff, I'm still stuck on Joe Burrow. Because it was rare that he missed a wide open receiver. You
know? That's the thing; it will never be that good. And to think that anybody else can just come in and do what he did, it's unrealistic. It really is.
No, I mean, it truly is. I laugh at myself because I watch the game and I'm like, Burrow would have had 21 points on the board already with some of the receivers that was so wide open.
Yeah, and so you have to now recognize that you do still have some good quarterbacks and receivers on this team, and the LSU's offense at least is now in playing the modern style of college football. So they're at that point, but to expect what you saw with Joe Burrow and company, that you really cannot repeat it. It was a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And truly enjoyed every minute of it as well. But we'll continue to root for the Tigers. I feel good about this game. The Auburn game, I think, is going to be a tough game. Auburn, as bad as they've been playing, they still been very physical team. So it's going to be interesting game, and I don't like that stadium. I've been there several times, and we've lost every time I was at Auburn, so I really don't like that stadium.
No, but they were emptying out in the fourth quarter last week. There was barely anybody there after they were getting beat pretty bad against Penn State. Like I say, this is Cam Newton and Bo Jackson are not walking through that door next week.
No, that's true. Jeff Palermo, thank you so much. Have a great weekend, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Newell.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, folks, let's go to the talk lines. Jimmy, you're up. Welcome to the show. We seem to have lost Jimmy. All right. We are going to be with Mark Hamrick after top of the news break, and we'll talk a lot about what's going on in the economy. I've got a lot of folks that have texted in some questions. If you have any questions that you want me to ask of Mark Hamrick, text them in, and we'll be happy to do so. I think we got Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, sorry about that, Newell. Hey, real quick.
Yes.
Hey, since it's free-for-all Friday, you've done a great job of covering the freshwater diversion projects. And this week, they just came out with a new study from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, basically saying like a 20-year assessment and the environmental plan and what this freshwater diversion is going to do to, you know, the Britain Sound and you know, all the areas really in southeast Louisiana, the tributaries and all the bays after this diversion project. Now, they're saying this is a massive step forward for the diversion project to happen. I've heard from the fishermen, the oystermen, everybody in the shrimping industry that this is going to totally decimate the seafood industry in southeast Louisiana. Now, you have all these talking heads like Chip Klein and all these people that are not from Louisiana that work for the federal government making these assessments and studies saying that this is going to be great. This is going to alleviate climate change effects. This is going to be great for the river. We're going to build up land, but at the expense of the seafood industry. So I just wanted to get your take on this. This week, this story's out. It's not getting that much media attention, and it's going to affect so much in our area if this diversion happens, based on what I'm hearing from the actual fishermen. You know, Mardi Gras Pass and all the other diversions, the smaller ones they've done, have put so much freshwater in the areas that, you know, where you have oyster releases and shrimp breeding, it basically kills the seafood. So I wanted to get your take on this. The study just came out, and it's a major step forward in the diversion project happening in Plaquemines Parish and St. Bernard, and essentially, you know, I just wanted to get your take on that. So anyway, thanks.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'll try and do that maybe a little more in the next hour, because I do have to get to the break. This is all about balance, and this is all about, for me, whether or not the cart before the horse. The CPRA has done a lot of great work along the coastline. The real question is these passes that are into Barataria Bay, how we deal with those, and whether or not we are in a position to try and minimize tidal surge. Because I think that's going to have a huge impact on whatever they think that this mid-Barataria sediment diversion is going to create. And we'll talk more about that in the next hour as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back, we'll visit with Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. The Fed, in the Open Market Committee meeting, has raised the interest rates again by another 75 basis points, 0.75%. Interest increase. What does that mean to the economy? We'll dig deep on that. And we'll also talk about the approach of Rashida Tlaib in asking bankers if they're still going to finance and lend money to the fossil fuel industry. If we stopped, what would that mean? We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.